Hello, welcome back to Local Roots Podcast.
What is that intro?
Bob,
Yes.
I am your father.
Who
Do
have
do
did?
do 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 do. May 4th.
Oh.
Well, it's about to be May the 4th be with you. This is before that, but it's going to be Star Wars Day. Between when we're recording and when Star Wars Day happens. So, happy Star Wars Day to our listeners. And you both don't seem enthused. So, moving on.
Yeah, I'm more just I
I
can't believe it's already almost May 4th. Like
wrote that an email today. I was
it
like, "May,
doesn't
it's
seem
already
like it.
May. What?"
It's I think just the up and down weather has just been kind of screwing with me, and it still feels like March.
It's horrible outside. Did you see how much snow Marquette got?
Dude, Marquette got a. There's a town next to Marquette that got like, what was it, 20 inches?
Yeah, of snow.
I was like, holy hell. My friend Kevin at Barrel and Beam sent me a photo. And it was like, oh my God, it looks fucking terrible out
Yeah.
there. Wild.
Sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna dive into it.
Okay, go
We're gonna
for it.
try and go like a quicker format for our podcasts. I know our listeners really want to digest everything we say because everything we say is extremely intelligent and important. But we're gonna make it easier for everyone to you know fully have our words marinate in your cerebral cortex. So I guess should I I'm start Barry?
Let's start, Barry.
I haven't podcasted since I went to Denver. So could I don't know.
Give us a very quick recap on your
First
life
experience in
happenings.
the Rockies.
Unbelievable. If you've never been out west, go. Expect it to kick your ass. Like I've been, I don't know, I think I have 30, I have 25 plus days snowboarding. Like a lot of them are like heavy, hard days of shredding and zero preparation. I don't even know if any of the skills like really translated out there. We did get compliments, Alexa and I, on being able to consume alcohol and still be able to shred.
Which is a very tough feat
So
up
that's a
in the
tough feat. So
mountains.
that translated. That was good. Everything else, I don't know if it did. Alexa took her new shaggy skis out. She calls them her shag daddies. They're pretty sick. Those are awesome. Fucking, it's unbelievable. If you've never been, you gotta go. I can't explain it enough. I met our, well, my old friend Jay Selleck. I know he's not listening, but just need to give him a shout out for her, like legit hooking us up with just incredible hospitality. He was super awesome, dude. And they can make a fucking movie about this guy. Like we'd walk in anywhere and they were like, oh, it's fucking Jay. Free beer, free food, free everything. And we're like, what? And eventually Alexa was like, is this guy just like the town like party man you guys like? And they're all like, no, like we all are, but he's just like one of the most likable ones. So it was like, okay, so that
That's
was
awesome.
good.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so that was cool. In a nutshell, yeah, it's unbelievable. You have to sit down on runs, like people like were saying that, and I'm like, yeah, okay, you're probably just being a little fucking sissy. Nope, I have to sit down multiple times because I thought my calves were gonna. My feet got the most sore shredding, and that was the weirdest part. Elevation was noticeable towards the end of the trip. We were fine; like we never got like sick, but you could definitely tell. Jogging from bar to bar was more noticeable, I think, than actually skiing. Or like climbing stairs, you're like, holy shit.
You also drove there too, so that
We
always helps,
drove,
like
yeah, and we stayed in Golden
going
for
like
a little bit.
from what I've from what I've heard, is that like driving there is way better for like adjusting to the altitude than flying, because like with flying it's obviously like kind of instant, and driving your body as you're kind of going up, your body's kind of acclimating to it a little bit better.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
That I mean, that said, the drive, it's fucking bad. It's so bad. It's terrible. I don't know how to, I mean, it's safe. We hit an actual tumbleweed. We hit two real life tumbleweeds. Felt like we were in a movie. Nothing happens when you hit a tumbleweed. You find that there's nothing to them. But they exist. They're real. We had a little wind up car that we would just shoot. Alexa and I would just like shoot back and forth to each other on the dashboard a couple thousand times.
Yeah.
And that, and listening to Armchair Expert podcast kind of got us through the drive. It was super nice having all of our shit there. So like we had all of our ski shit, all of our gear, so that was cool. We had to obviously bring our own, you know, snacks, food, beer. It was awesome. If anyone goes, I just feel like I'm like bragging about it now at this point. But you got
first experience though.
It was the first time out there. I'm trying to go back. I'm still hoping to go to Mammoth before they close. They don't close till like the end of July, so I've got some time.
That's wild.
It was incredible.
I enjoyed following along on your Instagram story journey.
It was it was fun. That's all. I'd hit like the back bowls and copper for my last day, and Jay ended up having to bartend. Alexa was tired from shredding the days before, and some kind of heavily partying did it too. So I was solo day at copper. We got some hookups for lift tickets, so that was super helpful. That's why I was able to go to these places, especially copper. And that was the craziest. The back bowls and copper were just like holy fuck, unbelievable. So highly recommend, get out there. Also recommend staying in Golden. It was a fun town.
Very nice.
Awesome.
Did you do the Coors tour?
No, they were closed. I was super bummed, and I love Coors.
Oh man.
But I was amazed how much of Coors takes up the town of Golden.
Isn't that not insane?
I was like, holy fuck. Yeah, it's huge, like massive building.
I never imagined like what I imagined the size than actually going to see it.
Yes, I was like, what? Does every single Coors ever brewed come out of that building?
I believe so. I don't entirely know. I think I did. Brain injury kind of rattled some things, but I think one of the times that I went out there, we did do a Coors tour, and I think almost everything comes out of that one facility.
That makes sense. I mean, like the whole like town, like, I mean, you're just on the main road, like anywhere you need to go in the town of Golden, I think you can see Coors. I think you can see Coors from the Yeti like facility, the Yeti headquarters. Mm-hmm. Which was seriously underwhelming going there. They were kind of why the fuck are you here? And I was like, oh my god, my bike came from here. It's like my favorite thing in the world. I wanted to see where it came from. This is super cool. And they're like, yeah, it was made here. That's what the sticker on the back says. And do you want to buy a koozie? And I'm like, yeah, I want to buy a koozie. Like, can I see stuff? And they're like, no. Okay. But I was there like at lunchtime, which was cool. And then all the workers, like, they came out of the area that I wasn't allowed to look in. And they all like, they legit go for an hour and a half bike ride and then they just come back to work. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful
bikes.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Some guy was on a gravel bike and they were giving him shit, but it was like this super cool gravel bike. So I don't know. He's like jumping off like curbs, like, and he was like leading the group, and I was like, well, fuck, this guy's got it together. It was a really.
Did you see that new Evil Bikes video?
Yeah, I saw it today.
I think of the Surge and then that their chamois bike.
The Chamois Hagar.
Chamois Hagar.
I would like a Chamois Hagar, but they're really expensive.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
I don't know if there's like the price of entry or like for what it, like you may as well get like a following.
Yeah,
I think they just did it. Oops, sorry, go ahead, Pat.
Their specs, the builds for those Chamois Hagars are not low end.
I didn't even look. I just saw it because it's like over 4K, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's fine. But I've heard they're like fucking sweet and they look sick and they're rated for whatever MTB, I don't know what the rating system is, but you're allowed to hit big shit on it and it's not supposed to break. But
yeah, I mean, look at their marketing for that bike. They put it through the ringer.
Yeah. Somebody else makes a wild gravel bike now.
Ibis has a really nice gravel bike.
They have the Haka, and then there is somebody else makes like a downhill brand makes it.
Kona has the Libre, which is a pretty stout bike for a gravel bike as well. That I know you can hit stuff on.
No, that's not it.
You're gonna remember like 3 days from now at midnight and text us.
Kind of bike does Gavin ride?
YT.
YT makes one. That's it.
I did not know that. That's
I didn't either.
Yeah. Well, there we are. Speaking of gravel bikes, we can get into Barry now.
There we go. Perfect segue.
My favorite part of the day for Barry was I just finished trying to chug a beer. We chugged a beer, Mark and I, at the start and at the truck, and we're running to the start, and he's like, "Do you actually have like 5 minutes left?" And I'm like, "Oh, well, the start line's like right there." And it wasn't right there. It wasn't where it was, further up. And we were like kind of weaving in and out of people. And I'm like starting to get like panic mode of like, I don't really know where the wave is at, where we're at. And then like we're talking to people and they're like three waves behind like where we're supposed to be. I'm like, oh, fuck. And Mark is actually fast. So he's becoming like upset and he's like, "I fucking told you we should have hurried up." I'm like, ah. And then like out of the crowd, like an angel descending from the heavens, I see Bob. And I'm like, "Bob, what's up?" And Bob gives me a hug and it was sweet. And he gave me a little bit of some secret stuff. And that was some little, and it was,
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was perfect start to the day. And then off the race went, and it was a day. It was good. Bob, you were there for a while. It was just beautiful weather.
Yeah, it was for a long time.
I mean, it was
there from like 8 o'clock, and it was kind of funny because like I was imagining last year how I was running around the parking lot hitting all the ice off of everyone's bike before the start, and then this year a month later than it was last year. And it, what was it, like 75 degrees and sunny?
It was pretty beautiful out.
I got sunburned like, shit.
There were a couple people that actually got dehydrated. And
yeah, people overheated. We were supposed to meet up with the Zajax. And they're not married yet, but they're married. But Courtney, like, needed like AC and like water like immediately because she was like super just like overheated, and like a bunch of people that happened to.
So you did the, you and Mark, did you do the 36 mile?
Yep, we did the 36.
Okay.
It was fun. I borrowed Ben Whitehead's Ridley X-Fire 2008, and this sucker was the shit. It had red shifting, I don't think it had carbon wheels, but they were like featherweight. They were radial spokes though. So I was nervous that my extremely muscular, heavy build obviously has some poundage behind me. I was going to hit something and it was just going to like explode. I was just for sure. And sure as shit, like towards the end of the race, I'm climbing this hill and then like kind of like coming at the top of the hill. Anyone who raced will be able to know this spot. And I was like looking off at the farm field or something. And I hit the only puddle in the entire course. And it was deep as fuck and like this super big pothole, just like, and I was like, oh God. And but I finished and it was fine. So the bike held together. It was a super fun event. And I can't believe all the people that show up for the race and like how well organized it is. Also, or it almost makes me kind of think like, I don't want to, you know, point fingers, but I feel like Iceman could take notes to like get their shit together a little more, because if the town of Hastings can fucking handle that, I don't know. They got to figure out the start of Iceman a little better.
What would you say? I've never attended a Barry race. What would you say the turnout is in comparison to Iceman as far as the racers?
Yes. Oh, for racers, I think it's, I mean, it's up there. Bob, do you know how many people? 4,000?
I thought there were four, just over.
It's
just over or under 4,000. Like, there are a lot of people there.
Wow.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, probably 2,000 less than Iceman.
That's still a lot.
Yeah, and like it's not as many people travel like with the racer together. Like there's some families and stuff there, but I think most people just kind of do it solo. At the finish line, I didn't know Alexa was going to be there. Her family came to town, so she was going to be with her parents hanging out, and her parents didn't really want to go drive an hour in the nice weather to go watch me do another fucking bike event. but then like I'm finished and I hear like, you way to go, and I was like, oh my God, and Alexa showed up for a surprise, so that was super cool. So that was my favorite
cool.
That was my favorite part of the day. Bob, seeing you was my second favorite part of the day.
I'm honored.
And it was a day.
I think it was a perfect day for a bike race. Like,
yeah,
perfect weather. Like,
and it's just the organization level of the race blows my mind totally. It was so fucking cool. And then Salsa brought that super dope couch if you did the 62 or 100 mile race. So that was sweet.
The chase race.
The chase, what do they call it? The chase. Is it just called the chase? Just called the chase. Our friend Chris, he was on Salsa's like main Instagram page. She was the one that was like stroking his nipples or some shit on the couch. So that was pretty cool. Chris, hope you're listening. I think you listen. Sometimes you say you listen. I don't know if you do. So this is the test. No, it was sweet.
Very nice.
I enjoyed my time down there. I stayed until 4 something.
I immediately, well, I got home. I cleaned Ben's bike from the dust. I was honking brown loonies for like for a while. And put my bike for sale Sunday morning, and then I think I had a gravel bike ordered by Friday.
Yeah, you caught the gravel bug pretty quickly after that.
Well, I was like, so I don't know that I'll gravel race a lot more. Like, the event was really cool. I want to have my own thing, and I'll do Barry, obviously. I don't know if I'll do like other gravel races, but it was really cool, like prepping the bike for like having it for the week. Because I could like ride places and then just like dip in and do some like single track and then like dip out. You can ride Luton like no problem on it. I think State Games probably fine on the gravel bike.
I've seen people on at the Dragon on gravel bikes. And
Dragon on gravel would be super sweet. Yeah, like that kind of stuff is would be fun as riding distance. But I wouldn't have both, like a road bike and a gravel bike. Like if I didn't have a road bike, I wouldn't have just like bought a gravel bike. But I was like, after a lot of beers and a bonfire at my house, I was like looking at like my road bike and I was like, what if this was just like off-roady and like four-wheel drive? I'm like, I can make that happen if someone buys it and then I buy a different bike. So I ended up going that route. I had a Felt F4X and it's got blue tires on it and it's sick.
Yeah, you had a hell of a time with those, didn't you?
Fucking Terravale can suck one. It took Mark and Zajac did most of the work. Like 2.5 hours, and then Mark eventually he was like, "Hey, get out of the way! Like, let me just do it." And I was like, "Well, I got it." He's like, "Dude, just no. I think I want you." I think he had one on the side of his house, and he was like, "Double tape the stuff together." He's putting it himself. He's like using the air compressor with the tape and the sealant, and he's just like muscling it. And eventually, he got it. But Bob, I think what you had mentioned that the valves. Stem, I don't think was like tight mm-hmm. enough. I know it was right. That was for sure on one of them. Because that sucker was taped like seriously good. And I know you want to say hello.
Yeah, and a lot of times too, even with that I come across quite a bit is like if when you tape a fresh rim and then you cut the hole, and you like I always recommend to completely cut the tape with like a razor blade so it's flush with that hole, because what can happen is when you put the valve in and then that rubber gasket kind of pushes that tape a little bit and it can cause it to crease in there and it won't create an airtight seal around that gasket, so then when you air it up the sealant will go through that valve hole and then it goes into the side of the rim and it blows out all the spokes.
Yeah.
So that's what, also what I've learned over time is to add the sealant after the tire set.
Yeah. That's what I do too. I always cut the tape through the valve hole with an X-Acto knife and yeah, set the bead and then remove the valve core and add the sealant after that. But
yeah, I had to seat it with a tube and then get the tube out.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like we didn't do that until like after they was like put sealant in it because they just tried like the regular way. So then I'm got all this like just alien gunk on all over. It was bad.
And a semi ruined tube though.
It's fine.
Well, I mean, it's fine, but it's like covered in sealant and gross. But it's like
yeah,
been there, done now, that too many times.
So it's sealed. I checked it. They lost like maybe like 2 or 3 PSI overnight, and
which
then I aired them up today in the morning, checked them like I don't know just recently, and they are good to go, so that's sweet. For advice for anybody that encounters this problem that does just end up pouring a bunch of sealant into the tire to get it to work, is there any downside to, I guess now all the spokes are sealed?
Semi-sealed.
Yeah. It's also like, so the rims on that, the wheels on that gravel bike are like super stout. They're deep, but they're those Novatec ones. And they're thick bitches. They're heavy.
Time to get yourself some ailerons.
I think I like these Novatec ones.
Yeah, that's your way of saying you never want to do this again with those tires.
Never. I did think so, like, but when I put it on the trainer, I'm gonna want to swap tires, at least the rear tire.
Yep.
Because I have the wheel on.
Or
so I'm gonna call.
Or if you wait, what? Or you might have to upgrade trainer.
Nah. I almost sold the trainer.
I was just trying to talk you out of hiring me to change that tire.
I'm gonna hire you. Well, I'll be able to get it. I'll need help. Ooh. Putting the wheel or the tire back on in the spring.
So I have I do have a trainer tire that would work for that already. So don't buy one because I bought one for a bike. Oh, damn it.
Yeah, I got
to get rid of this trainer tire.
you need some road wheels, because I have road wheels to sell. Any listeners, I have road wheels. They're quick release, rim brakes, Bontrager race. They're super light. You should buy them from me.
How much do you want for them?
With the cassette and the tires and the tubes, $125.
There you go.
I feel like that's a steal.
That's actually a really good deal.
I know. Yeah. Someone should fucking buy them.
Slide into the DMs and make an offer.
Purchase yourself some wheels.
I mean, that is actually a really good deal, because the cassette alone is probably $75.
Yeah. It's like it's not even that nice of a cassette, though. It's like a mediocre cassette.
I know, but they're, with all the prices on a lot of stuff have been increasing quite a bit. So that SRAM did their base model, like PG-1030 or their entry level chains and cassettes that are like, I think that one's $75, and I remember not that long ago it was like $60. So I mean, it's jumped up pretty noticeable over the last couple of years.
Inflation, man. The Fed just raised interest rates again today too, so that's cool.
Gotta get that money.
Yeah, we're in the process of finding a house, so it's great. But I think that might make housing prices go down. We'll see. We are like
checking
out on houses. Yeah, first one we looked at had like mold in the basement. But like the upstairs was like just redone like perfectly with like quartz countertops and shit, but they just didn't touch the carpet in the basement. A realtor was FaceTiming us, and he was like, "Oh, what's that?" He's English. He's like, "What's that smell? Oh, fuck, gotta get out of here." You're like, and we're FaceTiming, and we're like, "Dude, are you okay?" And then the next other house we looked at was sick. Like top of our price range, right by the lake, but it was like it needed a new roof, flooring, water heater, furnace, like off the bat, and we're like, well,
all the expensive stuff.
Yeah, it's like, well, I don't think there's anything that's more expensive that could go wrong. It's passed on.
I did just replace our hot water heater, so I would be able to help you install a new one of yours if need be.
Nice. Would you get a fancy one?
No, one from Menards, but it has a 9-year warranty. Referred to me by Common Bond TM, Nick Afton, helped me with it because he's done it before.
Nice.
So it was very nice to be able to do that myself, because ours was no bueno.
Talked to someone on the founders team today, and I asked,
yeah,
how is Bob your mechanic? And he says, the team mechanic. I haven't met him, but I've heard he's a nice guy.
That is unfortunately a lot of responses I get from the founders team riders.
It was Timmy and I were
but
talking to him.
I have a couple. Like, I have a
we,
couple awesome guys.
He was talking to Timmy and I, so you got some good PR from us.
Well, thank you. Every little bit helps.
Yeah. And then, and John. I wrote Timmy today for the first part, and then he bailed, like, just to go home. And then I ended up was at Ski Hill. And then I was feeling good, so I rode State Game, came back, hop on the triple, and then, like, this dude catches up to me, and he's like, "Oh, hey, Brian." That was my Tennessee accent. Anyway, I looked, and it's John, and I was like, "What the fuck?" I was just... How did this? Because we were like in a group chat about when to ride, and they had like different times to ride. And I was like, "Oh, I got to ride both you guys," so that was cool.
Yeah, it was a good day for a ride.
It was. Ooh, speaking of Pat, before I forget, do you have any interest in riding Richmond tomorrow before the meeting? You can say
potentially.
No. Okay, we'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll chat tomorrow.
So you can say no. I was thinking ride and then like go to the meeting. Anyways.
Well, I don't. I have very few reasons not to ride Richmond. So we'll see if I need a nap after work.
Sounds like a no. That's okay. You let me know.
We'll chat.
Speaking of the upcoming meeting that Pat and I are in. There's some serious good, I think it's public knowledge, potential, some reworks at Merrill that I am very excited about, that I think should make it more fun for people wanting it more fun, and should also provide kind of more safety as well at the same time. So I think it's just a win-win for everybody. I'm pumped. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, I'm excited to learn more about it and to release more of that to the public.
Yes, me as well.
You're leaving us with a cliffhanger.
Well, yeah.
Keep the listeners listening.
Yeah, to keep the people wanting more.
There you go.
Speaking of Merrill, Bob, how's your new baby on your shin?
It's looking a little ripe still.
Is it still pretty bulbous?
Yeah. So you guys...
calming down a little. A
couple weeks ago, you guys went on a ride at Merrill?
My first ride of the year.
There we go.
We did. If anyone has ever... Like, Bob, I've seen you ride, but I've never, like, ridden, like, with you for any, like, substantial distance of time, or, like, substantial distance. So I followed Bob down Winalda for like a serious, like a cooker lap. Like we're cruising fast. And Bob has the moves. They were very impressive, Bob. It was you were like shrelping stuff and like scrubbing shit, and it looked sick.
That's how I entertain myself while riding bikes.
Well, it was very cool.
Well, thank you. It was fun riding.
Has the opportunity to ride with Bob, do it, because yeah, it was cool. Poor Mike almost got ran over by some XC weenie trying to cook through the muddy part of getting onto an all.
I mean, I did kind of crash and screw everyone up, though.
Yeah, I did too. It's slippery and muddy, and like it just so happened that Mike was like behind, like at the end of like our triple train going, and there was a guy who was like 8 times faster than any of us going up the hill, and poor guy was not thrilled, but he also was not friendly about passing us.
You were having too much fun. Mountain biking's not supposed to be fun, you know that.
Yeah.
I was having very little fun with how hard I was mouth breathing out in that trail. I am in not good riding shape right now. It was a struggle.
So then, end of the ride, I was like, Bob, you should do something cool, and I'll film you. And you're like, okay.
Okay.
And you did something super cool, and then you missed the pedal.
Yep. And the metal pedal hurts.
Walk us through the agony. I'll have to post the video. I have it in slow-mo, and it's really funny because you hear Bob going.
It feels like when you do that and then you don't catch your pedals, and then they slam your shin, it feels like you're getting hit in the shin with a metal baseball bat. Like, there's no flex, no give. It just full force right into your shin bone.
Yeah. So Bob did a crank flip and didn't catch the pedal on its way back. So full rotation of his other leg on the other pedal into his shit. Well, that's how shins, that's how that works. Is it kind of like stubbing your toe when you're like, fuck, 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 I know this is about to hurt, and then like, does it start hurting? Or I don't know if it was like an immediate.
That's a really good, that's actually a really good description that I have never used that to compare. Yeah. I think that feels very, very similar.
Yeah, it's a good one. And you don't want to look down.
Yeah. Nope. Oh God, I was just talking to Mark about this. He did, what was he saying? Oh, he put new wheels on his van, and he said his just the tire. He just used a normal tire wrench. He said his tire wrench like slipped, and like his arm like went in, and he was like, don't look. He said he didn't look at it for like a couple minutes because he was like scared to see like just blood everywhere. And that's like so related. Like whenever I hurt myself anywhere in the house, just it happens often. Alexa's always like, "Let me see, let me see, let me see." I'm like, "No, no." She's like, "Why are you so angry?" I'm like, "I'm not angry. I just don't want you to see because then I have to see." I'd rather just not know. So that's how
no that good comes from looking.
Yeah. Well, Bob, glad you're. Is it okay now?
I was gonna say kind of funny story is that Mike Foster,
I saw him yesterday.
He will faint at the sight of blood.
What?
Yeah, it gets like really queasy and nauseous, and I was like,
he's in the wrong sport.
Wow, that's what I said. I was like, like talking to his parents, and I was like, wait, what? They're like, dude, he gets super nauseous, like way worse when he does that. And I was like, oh, poor Mikey, you're in the wrong sport, buddy. Like, you're going to get hurt all the time.
Oh, that's hilarious. I just saw Mike yesterday at GRBC.
Yep. He works there.
Yep. He does. He was there. I bought rim tape and super cheap pedals.
Did you buy more of the pedals?
I got some EC pedals. Yeah, they were like super cheap. I got them for a spare. Might sell them on eBay.
Yeah, because they wear out.
Yeah. Well, I bought pink ones for the Yeti to match the new fork decals that you put on that are still there. But then I put them on the gravel bike and they just look so good that I think they're going to live there. But
What pedals were you running before those? Like,
bike?
Yeah.
Those.
Have you ever used a different pedal?
Oh, I just had like XTs with the rail, the small platform. They're fine. I only bought the ECs because they were in a color, and I like them a lot.
I do too. They don't make them anymore. Is that correct?
Yes,
I can't remember.
Correct. Yep.
So they were like for a time, it was really hard to find certain Shimano pedals in a certain style. So that EC or whatever started making those, and I thought they were really good for the money, especially.
Yeah, if you get the so each of the pedal has like a 1, 2, and 3 version of it, and it's just like the 3 is like the better. If you get the 1 and 2, I've heard those suck ass and just explode after like 100 miles. But the 3s are supposed to be just like super durable, and they're—I mean, I beat the shit out of my pedals, and they're fine. I don't know if they're Shimano durable that can survive a nuclear bomb, but we'll see.
The pedals that I'm running, they really hurt when you hit your shin. They're very, very awesome grip. A buddy of mine actually owns a company, Tied to Shame, that we used to ride BMX bikes together at Skate Zoo in Kalamazoo, and he moved out to Bellingham, and then he started that component company, and they are, I think, I like them more than any other pedals that I've ridden so far.
I agree. They're my favorite flat pedals I've ever owned. But
just getting hit in the shin sucks.
So yeah, they do hurt a lot.
Yeah, Pat, I was just rolling I was rolling your bike at Merrill, and it like grazed my leg and it immediately started gushing blood. I have holes in them now. But it makes me look cool, so I like it.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, Pat, you were kind of saving this story for the end. Over the weekend, you hit, I think, the trail is getting like the most buzz in all of Michigan.
Yeah. So on Sunday, I made a little day trip up to Boyne Forest, a trail that I've never been to, but I'd seen that they had introduced a new jump line to the trail, and Flow Track, I believe, is the company that implemented that. It's pretty sweet.
I need to look at your Strava. Sorry.
So just for people that don't know, where exactly is where is it?
So if you are heading north on 31 or 131 towards Boyne Highlands, once when you reach Boyne, what is it, Boyne City, you'll just take a left on, I think, 75, and I think it's maybe another 10 or 15 minutes, and it's just outside of Boyne City. It's word of advice is to park at the west trailhead, and it's a nice spacious gravel lot, very very well signed. And after you ride up towards the woods from the lot, you can't miss the two track that continues on, and you'll see the jumps. It's a downhill line of about 10 tabletops with prefabricated lips, and
they're wood lips.
Yes. Yep.
Very wood, smart.
Yep. Steel framework with wood cross sections, and then very, very nice wide landings. So if you land a little off, you're not going to hit a tree or anything. They cleared a lot of the trees around those landings. So your line of sight is very good. It's an intermediate line. So they progressively get a little bit bigger towards the end. It took me a few runs to get used to the transitions. And I met the trail steward out there. I believe his name was Mike. He was saying that FlowTrack was going to kind of touch up some of the stuff out there and rework a few things. But it's a very fun line, and it's smack dab in the middle of this very big open wooded area with tall trees. It's beautiful. I can't imagine how it is in the summertime when it's all grown in. But there were a lot of locals out there. It had just rained the night before. I was nervous about that, but everybody says the soil drains very well. It's pretty sandy up there. And yeah, it's a very fun line. If you get the chance, check it out, Boyne Forest. And
just north of Boyne City, I'm looking at a map.
It's about 3 hours north of Grand Rapids.
Yeah, it's far.
I would set a significant amount of time and probably plan on hitting another trail while you're up there, because I only had time for I spent too much time playing on those jumps, and then continued to ride the rest of the single track and got back cold, wet and tired. So I wanted to hit Avalanche Preserve as well, but didn't get the chance.
Next time.
Yes, there's always next time, and there will be a next time, because they will be putting in another line, hopefully this year. And yeah, it's going to be fun. I don't think I've ridden any jump lines that well manicured in Michigan outside. So
that good, looks awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it looks absolutely incredible.
For those that like to go to Boyne Highlands in the summer, it would be worth checking out on your way up or on your way down.
That would be a good idea.
Like Torch Lake, like any of that area you're at, like just make the, you know, dip up there. Obviously, if you're in Charlevoix or Petoskey, you would go check it out. But
yeah,
I'm just not looking at your thing. When you got Pat, I don't, Bob, you're not a big Strava guy, Pat, but you are. When you're like not looking at like Strava, and then you're like, you feel you're like 2 days like behind, like looking at Strava's, and then you're just like avoid it. Does this happen to you, or is this just a me thing?
It kind of happens. I feel like it does. I feel like my feed doesn't update the same way every time I refresh it.
Okay.
I don't know. It kind of gets filled with like little when people update their challenges and such too.
Okay. That I don't really give a shit about. But like if someone goes like to the cool spot, like I want to see where they went.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, fuck, I missed it. So I'm like, well, I don't want to know. I'm like, well, now it's Wednesday. By the time I think about it, I'm like, I'm not going to go look back at Sundays. But now I'm like, well, fuck, I missed your Strava for this because I would have looked at it and like examined it. And
yeah, Strava's one of those things. It's like I really actually enjoy it the more I use it. At first, I thought it was kind of weird and I just used it to track mileage. But
yeah,
actually, like learning how to utilize the platform, it's helped me find a lot of routes before I discovered Trail Forks. I learned a lot about. My favorite
part of it is being able to find routes, or I like being able like you. I can see like, okay, where did Pat start for this ride? Where do I need to park?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't rely on its the tracking for mileage and elevation and all that very
yeah,
closely
so
because
fun.
we know
plus
it's not
or
mi- accurate.
Plus or minus 1,000 miles.
Yeah, we know it's not 100% accurate.
Mine was giving me like 2,000 feet of elevation for Mosquito Creek. I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah, that would be nice. I wish. But yeah, Boyne Forest, it's a if you like jump lines, that one line, maybe not worth driving 3 hours from Grand Rapids just to ride 10 jumps. But if you're like me and you enjoy riding single track as well, it's definitely worth it. Go hit up the jump line, play around, shred some single track, finish the ride with some jumps. Go hit up a brewery, whatever. Go hit up another trail. Make a day out of it. Once when they finish more, I would say it would be worth driving up specifically for the jump features. But they're killing it. And I would like to see something similar to that here in Grand Rapids.
The prefab jumps is genius. And that's what a lot of people should do, especially for longevity, because the one huge dangerous thing with jumping is hitting a jump and having the lip be not consistent or not the same as it is. So the first time through, that's when you get bucked. And that's unfortunately on some of the jumps around here of what happened is just natural erosion. And you're doing a hot lap through the trail without jumping stuff first. And that throws you weird. And it happens nearly every time we go riding.
Yeah. Prefabricated lips are, I mean, it's a really good idea as far as maintenance goes too, because they're very, almost no maintenance required. And if they're wooden planks, you can just replace one as needed. They did it right though. Like I said, the landings are nice and wide. There's a good line of sight and the ride back up to track is right next to the line all the way back up. So you can, as you're pedaling or push, as you're pedaling or pushing the bike back towards the top, you can watch other riders come down.
That's
pretty cool.
That's huge and like super helpful, especially coming from a rider who is nowhere near like your guys' skill level. Like, I need to like watch and like look at it and like, you know, see like, okay, what to do, what not to do.
That stuff's perfect. That setup is like whenever I do like jumping clinics and stuff like that, that's like the perfect setup to do clinics and stuff, because exactly what you said, whenever I teach clinics, especially jumping ones, like if jumps aren't like really close together, it like training your body in repetition, especially with jumping, like once you start to get the hang of it and then you hit one and then you adjust and you jump it, like correct yourself one after the other, it helps tremendously in learning how to do it. It's when you're jumping the one jump, turning around, kind of resetting and then jumping again, like you have all that time to like overthink it or forget exactly what you did. Like when jumps are one right after the other, if you screw the first one up, kind of have time to readjust and go, that one sucked, and then jump the next one and go, you know, that's like that setup's perfect. And then for walking up the trail, you can watch like other riders or more advanced riders jumping them, to where you're kind of like, you're not just being told what to do, you're actually being able to watch and see how exactly people are doing it. It's exactly the best type of learning.
Yeah. And the way I ride too, I've stated before, jumping is not my like forte. So it did, like I said,
get the fuck out.
I don't ride, I didn't come from a trail background.
Yeah, it's, you're just gonna making everyone else feel really bad about themselves.
Well, what I'm getting at is it took me a few or several runs through to actually get comfortable on these. And these are intermediate jumps.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
So if they were all doubles, I probably would have been more hesitant just to ride them right off the bat. But I'm going to say my first run through, I just kind of cased or landed right on top of each one just to get a feel for the transition. And then slowly gradually went faster through the line as I took more runs, and then kind of built my way up and then started clearing them. Kind of took the beginner approach, as most riders should when they ride a new jump line. But I'm very calculated when it comes to jumping things that I'm not familiar with. So the other nice thing I'd like to point out is there were the very last two jumps in the line are a bit bigger, and
like how
it's
big?
Nice. They're a bit taller, and I think the gaps are a little farther.
Like how can I do them?
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
Could I do them okay? Like,
oh yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean,
you tell me I can do anything. You're like, yeah, you can do it. I don't know if you'll come out, but like you can do it.
You can do anything, Brian.
Yeah, sure.
These are pretty comfortable jumps. The nice thing is that you can hit one and you've got enough room and time to cut out of the line if you need to. So
also important.
Nice. When so you, if you're feeling sketchy, you got the, you know, mid-run butt pucker, you can be like, I gotta stop.
Yeah, yep. You're not forced to. Right when you land, you're not going up the transition of the next jump. It's you have time to kind of veer off and regroup and then focus on that again.
Reassess what you're doing.
Exactly.
Nice.
The jump line does go downhill, so be aware that you will gain speed as you hit them. There is only one spot that I did have to give it a pedal, and that was partially because it had just rained and things weren't fully packed in because this line just opened up.
It's new.
I think maybe in the past couple weeks.
Okay.
But once when that soil is ridden in and hard packed, I think it's going to be running pretty fast. So, yeah, it's fun. I recommend going up there. There's a sign at the top stating that it is an intermediate line. And from the start point, you do have to pedal quite a bit. The trail steward mentioned that they will be putting in a proper start platform that will require less pedaling.
Yay.
well, hell yeah.
So yeah.
Like the scenery up there, like when you posted the
it looks
like pictures and stuff, I was like,
gorgeous.
It looked like when you were out in Santa Cruz.
I didn't know what to expect. My friend Alex McTaggart, who lives up in Petoskey, he kind of gave me a quick rundown on what to expect as far as the trail goes. But the foliage, the trees, I did not know that they'd be so beautiful. And yeah, it looks like it doesn't look like Michigan.
Mm-mm, it doesn't.
They probably got snow on Sunday or on Monday.
They probably did.
Gross. It was so gross.
The amazing thing about that trail is that it drains so well that I got caught in the rain while riding the cross country trail, and the ground was absorbing it immediately. There was no mud. I was leaving no tracks or ruts. It handled it very well. It's like Mosquito Creek.
Did they cap the flow trail with clay? Like how to, like with the landings and stuff? Like
it looks like a mix.
Yeah. Which is
they
pretty
did,
normal.
Yeah. They brought in soil for
aggregate.
That. Yeah, I'm not a professional with the soil mixtures or anything, but it definitely was not just scooped up from the side of the hill. But flow track also did a lot of work on the single track that goes through the woods, and they have added a bunch of wood features and little jumps and side hits here and there. Reminds me a lot of Mosquito Creek mixed with Maple Hill.
Okay. How would you compare it to, is it more fun than Stony and DTE?
I've never been to Stony.
Okay.
That's Stony's on my little bucket list for Michigan of places I'd like to ride.
I've not been there either.
If you want to go, I'm in.
Yeah, Pat, let's do a party.
Stony's in like Evan Campbell's backyard, so we can go crash his house and
there we go.
Bop there.
I'd love to check it out.
You also save on parking because you have to pay to park there.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, if I can save some money on that, that'd be great. in comparison to DTE, less paddling.
I love that.
I don't remember my legs hurting as much as they did from DTE.
Is it similar to like Glacial, if Glacial had stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all...
That's awesome.
It's pretty flowy. Yeah, that would be one way to describe it. Flowy, not quite as wide as Glacial.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of times Glacial's wide.
Very well marked. They have two parking lots, the east and the west lot. Like I said, the easiest way to get to the jumps is from the west lot. The east lot is closer to one of their blue and black single track loops, but you will have to pedal a little bit to get to the jumps from the east lot. Both lots have a port-a-john, and decent, pretty good signage. Yeah, it's a directional by day trail.
How long is it?
I can't tell you for sure. I think it was roughly 12 to 15-ish miles. The problem with I can't rely on Strava 100% for that kind of stuff because...
What do you mean?
Well, my first mistake... Well, not mistake, but...
Oh, no!
I probably rode the jump line and allocated 5 to 7 miles just riding the jump line. And then continued on. So I don't know where that line kind of blurred over.
Got it.
The single track.
So you rode about 15 miles. Perfect. You probably did the same route that I would have done. So about 15 miles in a day. Not bad.
Yeah. At the end of the ride, it was 22-ish, because I rode the jumps again after riding the single track. That's how fun they are.
Got to check it out.
Yeah. Road trip.
The locals are very cool, too.
Yeah. What's the brewery in Boyne City? Anyone know?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's called, like, Lumberjack or some shit. I don't remember. I know there's Marshmallow Brewing on Walloon Lake.
Brewery. I don't have the encyclopedia of breweries like you do, Brian.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what it is. I don't remember.
I don't know where Walloon Lake is.
In Boyne City.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. See, that was
between
also
Boyne City and Charlevoix.
That was also my first time in going through Boyne City.
I don't know if I've ever been.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
There's a ferry in Boyne City, isn't there?
I don't
know. Take a ferry? Okay. Well,
no. The other trail that was recommended to me was Avalanche, and that is just on the other side of Boyne City from the Boyne Forest Trail. And I was told that it used to be a ski hill, which
nice
means that it has elevation, and I'd be curious to check that one out.
That would be a good hit up both of those on a trip.
Yeah. So yeah, that's
well, cool. I think we should do like a camp trip and go.
I'm down.
Because I think that would be sweet.
100%, I'm down. Do a Highlands trip too.
Yes, and a Crystal one. I want to go to Crystal still.
There we go. I think we need more than one trip for these.
Yes, we need a local roots pod excursion.
On the road.
Okay.
Retreat.
Yes.
Podcast retreat.
Take the common bond truck.
Yes. Can we take the van? Got AC in that bitch now.
Oh yeah. It fired right up too. I'm so overly happy.
Put hammocks in the back, that's where we sleep.
I mean, it's very possible now. I can't wait for it. Like, now I'm like, have no anxiety about the summer heat because I'm going to have a full blown window air conditioning unit just blowing air around me. It's going to be amazing.
Nice.
So I love that you did that. And I love that you added new lights.
Oh, yeah. My mood lights, too. They have dimmers on them.
Do you use those?
Yep.
Cool.
Every morning. I'm just happy that I have an electrical fire in it. Oh,
it's always cold as shit in there. Like in the winter.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, it's.
Do they make like bigger heaters, or can you not?
It gets to be like 55, 60 in there in the winter. When it's like 25, 30 degrees, it's. Hey, that's how much I love working on bikes.
Okay. Okay.
As I will.
I just feel like you're always cold out there. I'm like, why doesn't you just get like a bigger heater?
And working with what I can get away with, I guess. not to work stupidly like I did the first winter when I worked with literally a space heater that I would.
Oh my God.
I had to ask people if I could plug. And I brought an extension cord and a space
heater. You did not.
Yeah. Yep. And it never got.
That's like mowing someone's lawn and being like, well, can I use your gas?
Yeah. Well, it was cheaper prices. So.
the early days of.
Yeah. I mean, you work with what you can afford and to get away with. And the first winter was terrible. I'll say that. I'm glad to never have. So, yeah, you make fun of me about that heater being cold now, but just think of working with no heat for an entire day in the winter and doing that.
Yeah. I never thought about how hot it would get in there.
Yeah.
In the summer.
Over 130.
That's Jeez. Worse than the cold, yeah.
It gets pretty terrible.
We got to get you like a little like wading pool or something.
I have an air conditioning unit, man. I'm gonna be it's gonna be like 65 degrees in there when it's 100 and something. I'm not gonna care. I just I'm fine. I don't care. I'm like so at ease now about the summer. Like I'll be able to be comfortable, not like having sweat dripping into my eyeballs all day long, sweating to death. Like trying to move quickly without moving at all so I don't produce more sweat.
So any of your customers that are listening during the summertime, don't hesitate to tip Bob in ice cold cans of LaCroix.
Yes.
Yes. That would be appreciated. I have a water bottle, so even garden access to your outdoor faucet is more, it makes me very happy as well. Unless you have well water, then I can't do it. It tastes gross.
Hey, you get what you get.
I know.
Speaking of beverages, I am drinking. You drink Athletic Brewing?
I've never had one.
Really digging them. Highly recommend.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Where are they? Where are they out of?
I think they're in two different places.
Now these are non-alcoholic.
These are NAs. Yeah.
Okay.
They're in Connecticut and California, but they give 2% of profits back to local trails. So that's super freaking
sweet. That's awesome.
That is compelling. Yeah.
Yeah, they're awesome for like when you want a beer, but like not a beer. Does that make sense? Like for post bike ride stuff, I think these are like awesome. It's like, I want a beer, but like, I got a whole bunch of shit I got to do later. Or yeah. I had a couple beers, but I want another beer, but I don't want to be like tuned in too much. Then you get one of these.
Yeah. It's like,
I like them. So highly recommend to anyone who's looking for a post ride beverage. I mean, I don't think you should replace beer with this, but you can sprinkle them in. finished a ride, was it Monday? Last Monday. And my brother-in-law had just like tried NAs. He's like, I'm going to try some NAs. So you drinking, like you sprinkle NAs in, I'm going to try and do it too. When we're over at your house, cause I'm driving tonight. I was like, okay, cool. And he bought some and he's like, dude, they're actually like, I'm a big fan. I'm like, dude, I know they're great. And we finished up a bike ride and there was this big group of people and like every single one of them was cracking NAs. And I was like, I'm yet to see that, but I think NAs are gaining like a whole bunch of ground because there's a lot of like craft NAs that are coming out like all over, like Shorts has, what is your big one? Thirst Mutilator. And then like Lagunitas makes one, like everyone's making them.
Saw Guinness dropped one too.
Guinness, yes. Alexa is obsessed with the Guinness NA. And it's going to take Ireland by storm because they need it. Ireland really needs like an NA Coke if they ever make that. fix their cocaine problem. I don't know. Got to figure that out. I think if they just let people smoke weed in Ireland, they'd stop doing so much coke.
But I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh my God, it's unbelievable. They have a massive cocaine problem there. Yeah. But yeah, like Coke's like, they're like, it's a little cocaine. But if like if you're smoking weed, they're like, oh my God, I'm smoking weed. Get arrested immediately. So.
Well, I'll
do more cocaine.
No, yeah. That's our calling. That's how we're going to end our episode.
Yep. Words of advice from Bob.
From explicitly just Bob.
No, I do not stand behind that statement. Please remove that.
I won't, but okay. guys, I liked it. Anything to add to the end of our faster-paced pod? Listeners, give us feedback. Let us know if you like us being faster, if you want to hear us
Babylon. I'm going to think not the babbling and the being the faster ones.
Yeah.
Cool. Bob, you said you're busy, so if you
need your shit, lots your shit of suspension fix, work coming in.
Call Bob and sooner than later so we can get Shannon's schedule.
Much appreciated.
Pat, if you see him on the trail, he said he's bad at jumping, so I don't know. See for yourself how he thinks he's bad at jumping, and then you can critique your own jumping and see how superhuman he is.
For shame.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll hopefully
it was a pleasure, fellas.
We'll make more episodes quicker and faster.
Yes.
All right.
Thanks, everyone.
Later, guys.
Until next time.
Love it.